Tim, most of us full-time workers spend so much time at work, it's more than family time, really, isn't it?
Yep, majority of your life, really. If you want to depress yourself, just think about that for a minute.
Now, a common issue with that, obviously, many people make friends at work because of that long, you know, the 40 hours of connection you have each week. But it was actually through a parenting website or forum, which I found quite funny, that a whole lot of debate was raised recently about workplace issues and some of the issues that can arise when you're together for too long.
Yeah, it's like a love-hate thing, I guess, with the people that you work with. You're in each other's pockets for hours at a time, day after day, ending up years. Like some people who are at the same workplace for decades together. It's like becomes quite an intimate like friendship.
There's a few people that come to mind straight away that almost seem like an old married couple if you're together for too long in a workplace, I reckon.
Okay.
But, yeah, so basically there was this mum's forum. They're talking about different things, and a woman's work romance sparked this. So obviously she had a positive experience at work, but what happened was it sparked a whole range of gripes about workplace situations.
Hey, heaps of people do find their partners at work.
Oh, absolutely.
I did.
Excellent. Excellent. Do you want to go into it at all?
Really it. No, I met my wife. We worked at the same place.
Did you work closely together or you just knew of each other?
No, pretty close.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's lovely.
Anyway,
these people are not getting married. Basically, one of the key ones was about the use of the microwave, workplace microwave, and the use of workplace mugs.
Okay.
We'd know about that.
The microwave one is not surprising at all. Every workplace I've ever been at has some kind of ongoing controversy around the microwave. People are not using it right. People aren't cleaning it. Someone exploded tuna in the microwave. You know, I don't know. And it is a bit of a weird one because, you know, heat something out of a microwave and that odour really will spread pretty far out of the microwave.
Yeah. I have a theory about the people that are leaving microwaves in bad states. These people are looked after at home as well.
Okay.
So they have no concept that what the trail of destruction they're leaving.
Well, you're describing like a 1950s, you know, man who just, like, that's the only person who's not cleaning up after themselves.
Well, I have no other explanation why someone would leave a microwave filthy. And it happens all the time.
I have an idea.
Yeah, okay.
It's because it's a communal kind of space and no one feels ownership of that space. So it's like, well, yeah, that's dirty, but, you know, it's not really mine. It's not really even someone else's. It's sort of no one's. So who kind of cares? And there's also a snowball thing where, oh, well, you know, the microwave is kind of already dirty. Like the person before me didn't clean it. What, now I'm going to clean mine and everyone else's that before me?
Okay.
Now, this is not what I'm thinking. I'm just, you know, trying to put myself into the shoes of a microwave pest. And I think maybe that's what they're thinking.
Okay. But I've been at a few workplaces. You've been at a few workplaces. Has the cleaning team that come in, have they ever been responsible for keeping the kitchen spotless? As far as I know, no.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's beyond their remit. As you might say if you were an idiot.
But some person, you talk about that momentum where, oh, I'm not cleaning up after that person as well.
Yeah.
But someone at the start blew up their tuna, looked into the area of the microwave and said, I'm leaving that. I'm hungry. I'm eating my tuna.
All right. Can I give you a personal anecdote?
Okay.
Oh, I'm at the moment having massive microwave struggles. We've got a new microwave at work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly know how to work it. I can only get it to go in minute intervals.
Yes.
So I want to microwave my coffee. It's a long and involved story.
What, 10 seconds?
Oh, no. I want to give it 50 seconds.
Okay.
But I can only do it for a minute because I don't know how to do 50 seconds. I can only do a minute. It's weird. Anyway. I find those last 10 seconds, taking me up to the minute, somewhere in there, the coffee will often overflow, the over out of the cup.
So you're the microwave fiend.
But I always clean it up.
Okay.
And I do it really quick. I try to be really, you know, considerate and make it that, you know, no one would ever know that there'd been a spill.
Mm.
So I guess that makes me a really good guy.
It does. So the other kitchen-based issue that had gripes in the workplace, mugs. Do you bring your own mug?
All right. I can give you my mug theory.
Yes.
I commandeer a mug. So it's a work mug.
Mm.
But
you stick with it.
I use it, and then I use that one every day for the rest of my work career at that place.
That's good.
I take it, but I basically take ownership of it, steal it, some might say. And then I use that one today. I clean that one. I use it tomorrow. I clean it. I use it the day after. I don't know. It just takes me out of the whole mug, you know, conundrum. Because, you know, I'm sorted.
You are a responsible workplace citizen, Tim, I can tell.
What's your mug position?
I'd be the same. I'd either bring one from home or just use one and make sure I've rinsed it and cleaned it and put it back. But I don't even use the dishwasher. I use hot water, rinse it out. I hope that kills off enough germs.
No, that's what I do as well. It's a zip tap, so that water coming out of there is boiling.
Mm.
So that's going to kill everything. And I've been doing it for probably more than a year, and I haven't died yet. But I don't trust necessarily everyone else's cleaning skills, so I don't really want to just grab a mug out of the cupboard because it might not have even been cleaned.
Mm.
Who knows? I can't say. I don't know.
Yep.
I need to clean it myself. Anyway.
All right. Well, they're pretty common ones. Some of the other ones that came up in this forum were defacing whiteboards with just, I guess, fun graffiti.
Oh, ease up. Like, who cares? It's a whiteboard.
issues over management wanting to use particular coloured folders for different, you know, you must use the orange folder for HR issues or I don't know.
Clearly some kind of government department. I haven't seen a vanilla folder since the 1990s.
This is true. Hey, one that that comes to mind that I'm aware of is one of the people I work with is very free with the way he pushes and retracts chairs from under a desk.
To just paraphrase, are you saying someone just leaves their chair sitting out in the middle of the office?
Not just one. Four will be spread throughout this office space, and it gets right under the skin of another worker that we work with. So that's another one.
Do you know, fair enough. You push your chair under the table.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. That's... Do you make a point to do that?
Yeah, I do mainly, but yeah, like, I wouldn't lose my mind over it. But yeah, if it's happening all the time, yeah, I can see.
Like, you push your chair in, it's just 101.
And one basic. Last one. It seems that the majority of these gripes are food related. Is noisy food, noisy eating, and stinky food like tuna, eating in a close proximity.
Yeah, well, it's a tricky one though, because if you're in a close proximity, what can you do about it?
I guess you can give someone a heads up, and that sort of gives you a little leeway, I reckon.
I guess so. Just say, oh, hey, guys, I've just microwaved an enchilada that I'm about to start eating right here in front of you. Just, you know, heads up.
Well, I think the message to come out of this, be a good corporate citizen, and you, like Web Guy, can find your perfect match, your soulmate.
Lots of things these days, newsman, that are a no-go.
Indeed.
Bit of a cryptic statement.
Political correctness.
Yes.
That's generally the main reason things are a no-go.
It must be. Everyone just spent so long just doing whatever the hell they wanted. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's realized, oh, maybe we should take into account other people's feelings or, you know, opinions or... You know, attitudes.
It's empathy amplified, and we're just getting nowhere because we're just thinking of everyone else's feelings.
So you're against it. You just said we're getting nowhere. Anyway, I don't want to get hung up on that.
Okay.
Even though we may edit that out if you decide.
No. Well, some things it just seems ridiculous. But I don't know what you're about to spring on me, so I might have to backpedal just a little bit. Not that I've ever done that on this podcast before.
Well, anything can get out of hand.
It can.
You know, even too much popcorn is not good, you know. Something that, you know, you can think is great. Overdo anything and it's bad news.
I'll disagree with that one, but you can never have too much popcorn.
That was controversial. I shouldn't have said that. This week I learned that there's a thing that should be avoided. I hope, Newsman, you haven't been queer baiting.
I have no idea what that means. Now, you've run me through, being an old school media guy, you've run me through clickbaiting and what that's about, but I don't know what queer baiting is.
I didn't really know either, but Channel 10 were being slammed, quote unquote, for queer baiting tactics. I guess the baiting part means, you know, just drawing someone in.
Yes.
Catching someone. You know, you think of it's a fishing analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're hooking someone or something. The queer element relates to the LGBTI community. So if I explain the example, maybe we'll understand what it is, so
I
we can know
can.
Not to do it. You know, one of these red hot reality TV shows that's taking Australia by storm. I think it's called My Bachelor Rules or something.
No, it isn't. What is it?
It's a bachelor show. They had been apparently running ads in the lead up, teasing a quote unquote same sex hookup.
Oh.
Which in 2018, you know, great, that's good, you know, representing, you know, all sectors of the community.
Yep.
So a lot of people thought this is going to be, a good show, showing a part of, you know, a part of the population that maybe...
So this is the promo before the show kicked off.
That's right.
Right, okay, gotcha.
So it sort of showed a female character in the show, personality in the show, making out with another person who's, you can only see their long hair.
Okay.
And meanwhile, the girl whose face you can see running over the clip is her quotes about, you know, she's gorgeous, definitely my type of girl. And then she's shown kissing this other person whose face is obscured but has long hair. And so the LGBTI community thought, great, we're getting represented. You know, this is a same-sex sort of relationship. We're going to get some exposure here.
And frankly, why wouldn't that be part of this?
Why not?
Yeah.
Indeed. But then the episode aired.
Yes.
And the long-haired figure in the promo.
It's Fabio.
Well, it was
a man
with long hair and a beard.
Ah.
So they had taken, you know, footage of what actually happened, but mashed it up with the woman's comments that were relating to a different person.
Now,
so
have you seen
taken out of context.
Have you seen the promo? Have you seen?
Yeah, I saw it.
Did it look like a woman?
Yeah. Well, I guess you're hearing words about, you know, it's a combination of the long hair. It's hard to tell. And the comments about, you know, she's gorgeous, she's my type of girl. You don't even really think, you don't even think twice about it, I guess.
The overall impression. See the hair, you hear the commentary. Yeah, okay.
So Channel 10 slammed. And I guess the question is, I mean, why did they do that? Clearly it, you know, got some attention as a promo. But then when it was revealed to have been, you know, false pretenses, bit of a backfire, so I can understand they need to generate interest, but is this too far?
But who have they, like, how many times have you been misled into a show by a promo? Well, I have all the time.
No, that's true. Most shows end up being a disappointment.
Yeah.
Based on the, or even think about movies, the preview that you see for the movie.
Yes.
How many live up to that expectation?
I understand that there would be disappointment that there wasn't a same-sex couple in the show, but get over it.
Oh.
Or do you think, I mean...
No, I'm kind of with you because these are not shows that you watch to get an in-depth understanding of, you know, a minority section of the community in an even and, you know, educated way. You know, go, you know, there's other ways to learn that sort of stuff. As these shows are not about that.
As I said earlier, Channel 10 probably would have done themselves a favour to have a same-sex couple for the reasons that you mentioned. There's a genuine interest and openness about this minority group in Australia. So I think they probably missed out anyway by not actually biting the bullet and doing it themselves. But
yeah.
But to me, I enjoy the creativity of the editors of reality shows and mm-hmm. how they hook us in with things that aren't a big deal but make it a big deal with soundtracks and selected editing.
Do they have any kind of conscience? Because clearly whoever put that together knew that, all right, this is, I am selling a dummy here. I'm making this look like two girls kissing, and I know clearly that's not the case. Is he or she, whoever's putting that together, thinking, you beauty, or is he or she thinking, oh, geez, is this borderline? Do they have a conscience?
But, I mean, no one's paying for the you're not paying for the show as such. You're not handing over any hard-earned. You're just curiously looking into a show because, I mean, through my experiences writing articles, I always look to get something that goes, hey, someone will pay attention to that. And I know with your profession,
mm-hmm.
you're also looking, how can I make an okay story really grab people's attention? So I say,
but
tough
luck. At some point, you go from generating interest to misleading. And you've always got to remember, at some point, everyone, when this is unveiled, people are going to, you know, throw back to that the promo. And if it's been wildly misleading, then there's going to be some heat. I just wonder, if you had made that promo, you're sitting there today thinking, feeling a bit hot under the collar, or you're thinking, nah, job done, this is great.
I reckon they're tapping their fingertips together, thinking it was a masterstroke.
Well, then you could go all out. You could put together a promo of someone doing their daily prayers or something, and then when you watch the show, it turns out, oh no, they were just doing some exercises.
Yeah. Yep. But when do we stop the criticism? Like, I can't remember if it's the RSPCA or Animal Welfare, but there's an ad where there's a very romantic music,
mm-hmm.
and it goes behind this long blonde hair, and it's talking about the perfect partner in your life, and then they sort of pan around, and it's one of those sort of long-nosed show-style dogs.
Okay.
So it's like adopt a pet, but they've misled us, thinking, oh, who's the lovely lady behind the hair?
Yeah. I don't know. I think an ad's different, but
yeah,
I get what you're saying. Well, I guess this one's played out. I guess the bottom line is, don't watch this garbage.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, awkward intro there by me. Newsman, Magic fan also, I'm wondering?
I'll get into that later, but yes, I'm a big Magic fan. But it's not often that Magic would come up on our agenda, Web Guy.
No, and it's not often on my radar at all. Although, if I had to name one, or the first magician who pops into my mind, it's David Copperfield.
Mm.
There's also this new British guy. I can't even remember what his name is, but he's like got a lot of, you know, popular online videos.
Is he sort of extreme and a bit out there, or is
no? It's not extreme.
Oh, okay, I might be thinking of someone else.
Dynamo or something.
Okay.
Anyway, should have double checked that. But David Copperfield is the one.
Yes,
he is the magic man.
He's been there for years and years, hasn't he? Vegas performer?
Yeah, I guess so.
And supermodel data?
Really?
I think so, back in the day.
Yeah, okay.
Cindy Crawford, or was that someone else?
Well,
let's Google
right.
that as well.
Yeah. We'll get our fact checkers onto that.
Sounds good, though. Magician. Dazzles a supermodel.
Yeah, could imagine that happening. He is in the news big time this week. And this is an interesting story. He's been taken to court. He's being sued by an audience member from one of his shows who got injured as part of the show. The audience member is now suing David Copperfield. So David Copperfield has to go to court. And as part of this whole court proceeding, some of the, you know, tightly held industry secrets about how he does some of these amazing tricks are all having to be explained in court.
Yeah, this is a magician's worst nightmare. That it's almost like the code of conduct for magicians. Don't let anyone know how it's done. These are our secrets. But if someone is suing or taking legal action, you've got to front up and show how it's done.
On that, there's been a lot of shows about, oh, this is how they do the magic tricks. And I remember, like, this magician has, you know, like, betrayed the industry, and he's going to teach you, show you how all these things are done. But he has to hide his identity because his well-being could be in danger, as if, like, magicians are going to assassinate the guy that's ratting on them.
That's right.
Anyway.
They'll shove him in a giant top hat, never to be seen again.
I don't think people care about that stuff, though. Like, we all know we're being tricked somehow. We don't really want to know how, maybe. But anyway, maybe we do, because this story has been pretty big this week. The victim, because when I first heard this, I thought, oh, this is just, you know, this is America. This is like another, you know, pretend claim. The guy suffered a traumatic brain injury. He had 2 fusion surgeries on his neck, and he also had a shoulder surgery. He said it's turned his life upside down. He said, I have pretty much constant pain. I have difficulty with my short-term memory. I have a ventilator, otherwise I stop breathing at night. So that sounds pretty...
From the sounds of it, not a sprained wrist that's caused legal action. This is intense.
I mean, fusion on his neck, fusion surgery, this doesn't sound good. Anyway, so probably, you know, some real problems here. He was one of the randomly selected audience members in David Copperfield's famous 13 magic trick. I think it's called 13, something like that.
13 people?
Grabs 13 people out of the audience.
Yep.
They all go into this glass box thing. They all get given torches, which now thinking back, is a bit of a tip-off. They get given torches. Then curtains come down around the whole glass case.
You're drawing a good picture. Keep going.
And then the people in the case are told to turn on their torches and shine them around so everyone can still see that the people are still in the box.
Yes.
And then the box goes up in the air. The curtains go up. There's a big explosion and the people are gone.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. I guess if the people were in the box still all along, why the curtain, why the torches, why not just let us look into the box? But
as you said, we're all playing along.
Yeah.
We want to be amazed.
We do. So anyway, now David Copperfield's friend / producer has testified in court explaining how this trick is done, because this guy that hurt himself was involved in this. So it's all come out. We know how they do it. Could you guess how they do it?
No, I couldn't. I've read the article. I've seen the diagrams. Run us through it.
Well, secret trapdoor, basically.
Pretty much. And what, they quickly, crew members transport them around through the kitchen.
Yeah.
Through a couple of passageways and out the back.
It's basically as mundane as you would have guessed it was.
It looks cool. I saw the YouTube video. It looks very impressive.
But so I guess the curtain goes down. And the thing is, the curtain goes down and they are immediately taken out of there. Like you said, the producer explained, stagehands with flashlights hurry the participants down through dark curtains. They go through unfamiliar passageways, around corners, outdoors, indoors, secret passageways, blah, blah, blah. They go through a kitchen at some point. Anyway, point is, they go down through the stage. And by the time these so-called, you know, torches are shining around inside the box, you know, they're long gone by then. So how they do the torches, I don't know.
So the torches are there just to, the whole smoke and mirrors, look over here, look over here. The torches are there. Probably some disco ball flashing random torch-like lights everywhere.
Spot on. I'm sure that is exactly how they do it. You could be a magician. And you probably shouldn't have even said that. You've given away too much. I don't know. It was a bit of a bummer for me. I felt like, oh, really?
So are they actually physically walking, or are they, they're guided by the crew, is that?
No, they do levitate. They're given magic powers.
No, I thought maybe they're on a little I don't know, golf vehicle, golf buggy or something.
Well, no, apparently they were running, and that is when this guy tripped over, fell, bumped his head.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, it's not a very big secret anyway. If if it's at Vegas and they do it every night for 300 nights of the year,
yeah,
that many people know how the trick's done. 13 people.
True. That's true.
And watching the video, they pop up at the back of the audience with their torches going, hello.
Yeah.
We have reappeared.
Yeah. It's made me think, because, you know, I'm not huge into magic, but sometimes I'll see the magic thing. I think the takeaway from this is you see a trick, think of the most obvious explanation. That's probably the right one.
I loved magic as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have mobile libraries come to your suburb? So a big school-sized bus would drive around with a whole lot of books, and it was kind of novel for every Tuesday or every second Tuesday you headed out, got to your main road and went in and borrowed some books.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I always took out every magic book there was. But they were very dated books, and they were very wordy for a 10-year-old boy. Okay. Like, and when you had to... Basically, it said you must practice this for many weeks or hours on end to get the right sleight of hand. So pretty much I didn't have the dedication
to it. So when you say old-fashioned, what was it like? Here's how to make a horse and cart, your horse and cart disappear.
No, they were all just sort of rope tricks and palming disappearing balls and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All I wanted to do was impress people. So I've doing this podcast. So
you ever do a show and charge family to witness?
Oh, I don't think I ever charged family members, but used to always buy the magic show bags at the show. And because I think these days magic for kids is a lot easier. They do tricks that don't take practice. They're just a device that does something novel.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also had another theory, if I can indulge.
Please do.
That when magic first came out, these optical illusions were the best that anyone had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Movies were very primitive. Well, obviously before movies, magicians were around. But now there are so many ways to be deceived by special effects and things like that, that what a magician does, I guess to see it live perhaps is more impressive, but in any other format, it sort of falls flat, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. We've maybe moved on a little bit, but there still seems to be an appetite for it.
Mm. But they have to go big. They have to go real big.
Yeah, no one's doing like a rabbit out of the hat anymore, are they?
No.
I guess that was a, you know, an actual magic trick at some point. Yeah. I know it's become a cliche now, but at some point someone probably was doing a trick where they pulled a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
But now... now it's... Wasn't David Copperfield, like, making the Eiffel Tower disappear?
And, that's great.
You know, that had to be trick photography, to use an 1980s phrase. But,
yes.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's clearly... they've had to up their game.
You're right. The talent shows on TV that are normally run over summer, there's quite a few magicians that are, you know, telling someone to think of a picture and their favourite boy's name and out... of an envelope comes that picture, and
you still keep your eye on the industry. You still got your finger on the pulse.
I've always got my wand in my back pocket, just ready for a chance to perform the magic of three dices become three. Is it dice? Die. Three die become two with Marcus the magician.
Oh, I would have thought you'd go with the amazing Marcus.
Much better. That's why I failed.